all I've ever wanted was to make my mom proud, man. And her passing away and that, it was just crazy. But there was a world war. And then from there, yeah, there was a civil war. Grew up in a family where the clothes that we were wearing were getting passed down from the older brother to another brother. In terms of saying I hustle, everyone's going to be saying, oh, yeah, you're a drug dealer. I was street smart from such a young age. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Barbering back home, it means that you failed in life. You're a failure. I like talking to people. I like bantering. And I like sitting down here watching TV. Best place to do all of that, yeah, guess where it is? In the barbershop.
Too right.
By the way, yeah, I will be doing the most crappiest haircuts. Okay, you're thinking, mate, I would not pay for this haircut. It was how I made them feel. Yeah. You see, with a haircut like this, you can take over the world. I seen all my tools cleared out, put in the box. Hey, what's going on, man? We don't want you working in the barbershop. I was like, mate, like, God bless my missus, man. She quit university, right? Working late nights. She can pay rent and take care of me. As a man, yeah, that felt wrong. I made sure she didn't work for the last 10 years. If your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban. And we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi there. Welcome to the Noble Barber Deep Dive Christmas Specials. How are you doing? I'm here with Romeo the Barber. Romeo, thank you so much, bud. And we're in his beautiful Liverpool shop. Just wanted to take the opportunity. I think with our deep dives, we're seeing, I think people are tuning into your life and your career now as it's all shiny and fabulous. And I think going back to the beginning and understanding how you made your journey here and how you got your mindset, I think really helps. I think it gives us a little bit more of an understanding of people's journeys and how they're going to do it themselves. But maybe we could start, I mean, I think it's quite nice to start really from your upbringing, maybe where you grew up with your family as a child.
Yeah, so basically I'm the ninth child in my family, so there's 10 of us in my family. I've got like four sisters and five brothers, including me, as 10 altogether, same mum and dad. And obviously I grew up on the outskirts of like Kenya. So at the time, yeah, there was obviously nice, like, you know, the area that we used to live in, it was all good. Very, I'd say, a place here where a lot of Portuguese and Italians used to come to for holiday as well.
Okay.
And yeah, man, and obviously after a little while, there was a world war. And then from there, yeah, there was a civil war that happened. And within that civil war, that sort of like forced us to push us away from the area where we grew up, where we lost our home. So I don't know what my home looks like, because I was born in that house, but we've been forced here to leave the country. So we left the country and obviously settled down more into the inner Kenya, which is in East Africa. So growing up here, we grew up like moving from one house to another house and sort of like my whole life just moving around. As you all know, you grew up in a family where, you know, the clothes that we were wearing were getting passed down from the older brother to another brother. By the time it gets, because obviously I've got like six brothers in total, and so by the time it gets to me, the clothes are already like worn out and that. Do you know what I mean? We'll be wearing secondhand clothes, like, and obviously like it was a very good, like, you know, upbringing. Do you know what I mean? Where we all slept in one room, we all slept on the floor, didn't have like obviously. Like how everyone nowadays, yeah, they've got a bed. When I first got my first bed, I didn't even know how to sleep in it.
Wow.
So I was used to basically just sleeping on the floor. So I would just put my mattress on the floor and still sleep on the floor, which is nowadays a lot of people have started doing that. Do you know what I mean? It's become like a trend now where people are sleeping on the floor, because as nature, we're supposed to basically be sleeping on the floor. It's good for our backs. True. It's good for our mental well-being as well when you sleep on the floor. So yeah, from there, obviously moving from that house, we moved to another house, and then, you know, we had to then move schools, and then obviously had to make new friends. So obviously as a child, yeah, we were going through a lot at the same time, but at the same time, we didn't see like as if we're going through a lot. So after 20 years being away from home, I actually did go back in that 20 years, and I couldn't believe the environment that I used to live in, where there was poverty going on, and you know, like, it was insane where I couldn't even stay in that area. So I just had to basically go to the rich side. I mean, the side where we used to look at as kids thinking, wow, what if one day, yeah, we could be here and that, do you know what I mean? And obviously, after 20 years later, went into that place. And so, yeah, man, just obviously, and then my parents then came to the UK, and that was around in the 90s, early 90s. And then my brothers came up here. So then, obviously, once my brothers sort of left, we were the only, like, you know, two people that stayed behind. So it was three brothers that were left behind in Kenya. And then my three sisters as well that lived there. So we were kind of like, you know, my parents were moving up and down. So majority of the time, yeah, I was getting raised by my sisters, my brothers. And obviously, I come from a city where, like, there would be a lot of families there. So everybody knew each other. So I was getting taken care of. By other people's families, so we're always like a community, do you know what I mean? Some days I'll just end up in some random neighbor's house eating lunch and that, do you know what I mean? So yeah, and then from there, obviously, I went to school in Kenya as well. And at the age of like 8 years old, I was actually running my own business, creating bracelets. So we'd make bracelets out of beads and would sell it to the tourists. But like, you know what I mean? For like $8, $10, and I was making money like that. So whenever I used to go home now and start counting money from my dad would be like, "Where'd you get that money from?" I was like, "I made my money, you know, selling bracelets to tourists." Like, "What are you doing? And you're supposed to be a schoolman. Come here, man, give me that money." So I started beginning my hustle, yeah, from such a young age where nowadays you do see a lot of kids at that age of 8, they're still playing video games, where back home, as soon as we hit that age, it was sort of like, you know, look ourselves as like we're men, but still like we're kids, do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And obviously moved in England, I was going to college, or my whole thing was basically be in education and obviously go
to... How old were you when you came to...
15.
You're 15?
Yeah, I was 15. So when I came
to... jump countries.
Yeah, jump countries. And it was just a whole different vibe, you know, coming down here. It was a lot more cold, coming from a hot place, you know what I mean? It was nice, you know, to be able to go to the beach. And now, you know, majority of the time, you know, you're in England, you're just stuck at home. And then you go to the park and then come back home. And it's almost like there's not much to do. But then it was a big jump. Went to school.
How was school for you here?
So at school, yeah, when I came down, obviously I did finish like my sort of like GCSE level over there, but it was a little bit more higher than GCSE. So when I came down, they've actually put me in an ESOL class, because I was kind of like shy to speak.
Right.
So they put me in an ESOL class, and then the minute I started speaking English, they're like, "Oh my God, we didn't even know that you can speak English." And I was like, "Of course I can." Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's the second language that people speak in Kenya. Even now, yeah, I think it might be the first language. English is the first language in Kenya.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? And then we were speaking Swahili, which is like the tribal language. And then, yeah, school was all right, you know? I was studying business, doing media as well. So from there, I never really liked school though. Not gonna lie to you, but it was one of those things where I just had to do it for my parents and sort of like make them proud, you know, to be able to do something that they want me to do.
And this was Ealing?
At the time I was going to a school in Neasden.
Okay.
So from there, then obviously I moved to a different area. Then that's when I went from school, jumped straight to college. And then college, that was in Oxbridge. I was going to Oxbridge College. And then from there, I did like computing. So I was jumping from one qualification to another qualification to another qualification. And while I was going at college, that's when my beard started growing. So I had to shape up my beard, but not fully. Just a goatee, used my trimmer, used to line myself up. And then that's when somebody said to me, "Excuse me, like, who does your beard and stuff like that? I like it." He goes, "I do it myself." He goes, "Are you a barber?" Just for confidence, I said, "Yes."
Love it.
It was a lie. It was a very good life. So they believed that I was a barber, but they would say, "Can you cut hair?" And I was like, "I'm a barber, but only for beards. I haven't yet to cut hair yet, but when I get to that stage, I'll let you guys know." So there used to be a park by the college, and I always used to bring my trimmer, and I would be trimming people's, you know, like beers and stuff like that, giving them shape up. I used to bring my cutthroat as well in college, and I would do them at college and stuff like that. And I was just doing it as a hobby. I never really wanted to be a barber, do you know what I mean? And then a few obviously a few years later after that, I was like, you know what, maybe this is something that I should think about doing. And I started doing security. So I was a doorman.
I was doing
I was doing a bit of everything. So I was a doorman.
Oh, wow.
So while I was a doorman and that, yeah, I was going to university at the same time. So finishing college, I had to go to university. In university now, I was doing nutrition and health. So I jumped from computing to nutrition and health. Because whenever like families come around to the house, would always be like, oh, yeah, well, so what's your son doing for a living? And, you know, like, you know, with our family, like, yeah, oh, my son works for NHS or, you know, he's working as a doctor, he's doing this. And I thought, you know what, the closest thing to a doctor, if I say I'm a nutritionist, that's going to sound brilliant in my CV or in my family's ears. And like, it's going to sound brilliant. So I've studied that knowing that, you know, I'm going to go into something that I don't know nothing about. And then obviously a year later, I've dropped out of university. And then I started obviously going to my friend's house and I was just doing haircuts there. And obviously haircuts was something that I was doing anyway as a hobby. So from there, yeah, when I was saying to my dad, like, oh, I've dropped out of university, he goes, what are you going to do now? I was like, I'm going to start working. So I started working in a clothing shop. And at the time I was working there, I was doing a lot of work and it was kind of like stressful. And they were sort of not appreciating my hard work. Do you know what I mean? And then from there, yeah, obviously the company ended up closing down. So I lost my job. So from there, I was like, you know what? I ain't got nothing to do now. And I still got my weekends as security, but my parents never knew that I used to work as a doorman. They knew that I was working in an office.
Right.
So obviously every time I would disappear in the nighttime to go and do my doorman work, they used to think that, yeah, I was in an office, working in an office as security. They didn't know that I was doing that. So anyways, as soon as I've finished doing my security, I then thought, you know what? I went to a barbershop on there, which was my cousin's barbershop. It's like a family barbershop. And I went there that day, sat down the whole day, you know, just chilling. And then a mate of mine walked in and there was an empty chair. There's always that one empty chair there. It's always been empty. And there was clippers there, old clippers and that. So from there, the guy goes, well, you working here now? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I work in here. He's like, what, do you want a haircut? He goes, yeah, go on. So I sat him down, gave him a haircut. He wasn't really happy with it, but you know what I mean? And obviously, like, it was sort of like guiding me towards the haircut. Like, oh, this side is a bit higher and that side is a bit
but
lower.
You're enjoying, you remember enjoying it even then.
Yeah, I was enjoying it, even though, yeah, like, I wasn't enjoying the comments that I was getting, you know what I mean? But the way they were criticizing me, and it made me feel some type of way. But at the same time, I was like, you know what? I'm a self-taught barber, but these lot are actually teaching me how to cut hair. They don't know how to cut hair, but they're actually teaching me and directing me what to do.
Yeah.
And I was doing exactly that. And this is what I say to my clients now. Yeah, whenever I'm doing something wrong, you're criticizing me. Tell me I'm doing it wrong so I can do it right. Because if I'm doing it, I'm going to think that I'm doing it right. Yeah, even if I'm wrong, I'm going to think that I'm right.
The same. But from that upbringing, which is, you know, startling, and you've made all these big changes.
Big changes, yeah.
Really big changes. But, you know, flowing through the whole thing, you know, you're a bright lad underneath there. You know, you've obviously, and you're a hustler.
I was basically, you know, in terms of saying I hustle, everyone's gonna be saying, oh yeah, you're a drug dealer. I was street smart from such a young age.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I went literally every, because obviously I was young, like, you know what I'm saying? And we'd hang around in different local areas. And every local areas you go to, you're always gonna see a group of men sitting together around the table outside. And by the way, when people thinking outside is all luxury now, but it's not, like, you know what I mean? Sitting in a village outside and they're all just talking about different things, different ideas. You know, men used to come together back in the day and share ideas. And we used to just sit there thinking, these old men, they're talking a lot, man. It must be boring what they're saying. But at the end of the day, it all be in the back of my mind.
Absolutely.
So whenever I'd be going out there, I'd be seeing them, they're doing their own thing. And I'm just sitting there sort of, you know. And by the way, yeah, barbershops was always part of my life. Mm-hmm. Back then as well, yeah, you'd go to that area, there'll be one barbershop there, another barbershop there, another barbershop. And it would literally just be like this little sort of shop that was made out of wood. They didn't have the right barber chairs. It was just like a stool that I used to sit on. And they didn't have a proper gown. It used to be like a normal, like, cloth. It could be bed sheet or whatever. They used to tie that around your neck. the hygiene wasn't there.
No.
So when my parents were looking at barbering, they were looking at barbering. Barbering was like back home. They were not looking at barbering how it is right now. So even when I was when I was obviously surrounded by that, like I was seeing that, and I kind of like the barbershop vibes as well.
You completely seemed like your whole life was destined for you, sir.
It was destined
to be
it was
here.
There.
So everything from the kind of hustle, the kind of the upheaval and change, giving you that kind of resilience and strength.
It was always there, yeah. But you know, like when like you get distracted, yeah, by going to education, you go there and you've got teachers, yeah, giving you different ideas and that. There's always something there, yeah, in the back of your mind thinking like, right, what am I destined to do here? I like talking to people. I like bantering and I like watching sports and I like sitting down here watching TV. And the best place to do all of that, yeah, guess where it is? In the barbershop.
Too right.
Do you know what I mean? And then from there, yeah, that's when I thought to myself, like, right. And then obviously, like, once I dropped out of university, I was thinking to myself, how do I tell my family I want to become a barber? Because barbering back home, when you're a barber, yeah, it means that you failed in life, you're a failure, and you haven't done well, yeah, in your education. That's when you become a barber. And that's how they see it. So when I sort of brought that idea to tell my dad, like, look, I want to be a barber. I want you to give me money so I can go and buy myself some clippers and invest in my business. Because you want to be a barber. It's like whenever you're telling people you want to become a barber, it's almost like, oh, are you trying to bring shame to the family that you want to be a barber? Do you know what I mean? And then obviously my little brother was going to uni. So whenever my uncles would come to the house, oh, you do, you go to uni. Oh, what'd you study? Oh, you I can't, wow. Me now, yeah. Oh, what'd you do for a living now? Oh, I start cutting hair. Yeah, all right, cool, man. I'm no longer, yeah, like, you know, part of their interest now. They sort of like ignore it.
But you did no formal training. It was all
all mistakes.
Your
everything.
Dad did eventually give in and buy you a set of clippers.
So it was my mum. It was my mum.
Your mum believed in you.
My mum was like, you know what? If he loves it so much, yeah, if he wants to do it, yeah, why are you stopping him?
Mm.
Your best friend, who basically, you know, I call the guy was saying my cousin. That's basically my dad's best friend. They've been together like from since like they were childhood friends, innit? Like from back home. They've been through the whole like civil war thing. They've moved together. They're sort of being together even till this day. They're still right. Best mates. So he was a barber. And that's how my dad met him, through him cutting his hair.
Okay.
And my dad was a tailor as well. Yeah, he was doing all this tailoring and that. And then, and obviously mom was saying to him, like, so your best friend is a barber, his kids are a barber, look how well they're doing with their career. Mm. Why are you stopping your child from doing it? Oh, but people from the outside are gonna start talking, saying, oh, his son is a barber, da 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 da. I'm like, dad, let them talk. They can talk whatever they want, yeah. I'm gonna make you proud, and I just wanna do something to make you proud. School isn't doing well for me, I've tried it and it's not working out for me. Let me make you proud. This is when now, yeah, I started cutting hair in the barbershop. I fell in love with it. Every day was a new challenge.
So you were working in a store in London?
Yeah, but I wasn't a proper qualified barber or a great barber. I just knew how to hold clippers. I knew how to speak and I knew how to just do what needed to be done. But when it came to like skin phase and that, yeah, I wouldn't touch that. Yeah, it would be short back and sides. Number one on the side,
two
on the top.
Your personality carried you through the...
My personality carried me through, man. I was always confident. Oh, by the way, yeah, I'll be doing the most crappiest haircuts. The type of haircuts, yeah, when you look at it, you're thinking, mate, I would not pay for this haircut. It was how I made them feel. Yeah. I made them feel confident. Like, mate, you see, with a haircut like this, you can take over the world. I was good with my words. Mm. Those words of encouragement, the motivation words, man, they forget that they even got a haircut. Mm. They would come out of the barbershop, somebody would be like, mate, did you even get a haircut? Do you know what I mean? It didn't look like they had a haircut. But hey, like, you know what I mean? I was learning. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? And then from the following week, it got better. I wasn't looking at money again. Like my first week, because obviously I was working at that security job and it was paying me really well. And I was earning, I went from earning like £2,000 a month to now making £80 a month.
Right.
But mate, that feeling of cutting hair, knowing that I'm the one here that produced this haircut,
yeah,
and I'm getting paid for what I've produced, that feeling was the best feeling. Yeah. Even if it earned me £40 that week, it was the best feeling ever, man. And ever since then, it's never stopped. it was always one thing after the other, challenging myself.
And so where, how long ago is this, when you were still doing a bit of security and then
this
starting?
So I started picking up the razor and the trimmer in 2009.
Okay.
But I never knew I was going to be a barber then. But then I think in 2012, while there was Olympics, I was doing security for the Olympics. And after that, I was like, obviously you hear a lot on the news, there's going to be terrorist attack, you know, like on social media when you scroll. And it's always like, you know, these conspiracies, and that's kind of like scared me. So the next day I never went back to work.
Right.
And then I was pissed when I realized none of that stuff said it was going to happen happened. Do you know what I mean?
Don't believe everything you read in the papers.
Because I did watch the movie called, you know, it's called 2012 or something like that, the movie.
Right.
So I thought this is exactly what's going to happen. So my mind was like, yo, you know what? Don't believe everything that you see or read. And then I was annoyed the fact that I missed out on the whole experience of the Olympics.
But that was the kind of birth of your proper barbering career.
That was the birth. I went to the barbershop. Now I start working. And obviously from there, that's when I met my missus as well. My missus.
And this is all round, still round kind of Neasden way?
Yeah. So this was in Acton now, because we moved away from Neasden. So now the barbershop was based in Acton.
And busy? Were you doing well?
It was very, very busy. There was a lot of walk-ins, but I always used to get kids that I used to sit on my chair. The same kids that barbers hate cutting now, I was cutting them back then. They'll be moving around, you know, sort of crying. At some point, you're like, I had to take off my belt. And obviously, I thought it was the right thing to do at the time. Yeah, I took off my belt, and tied him around the chair so he wouldn't move. And then the parent came and was like, what are you doing to my child? And I was like, your child keeps moving. Are you going to hold him or what?
Oh, that's priceless.
And then, sometimes the kids would move. And obviously, I'm holding the clippers now. With the clippers, they haven't got any sensors to stop by itself when a child is moving.
Mm-hmm.
So when the kid moved because he had a sound, ended up like shaving off one of his eyebrow. So his mom was like, oh my God, he was fuming. He's like, how dare you cut my son's? I said, did you not see how your son was moving on my chair? But anyways, the way she made me feel, it made me feel like, what's good, disheartened somehow. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, maybe this is not for you. Yeah, just quit. But then something kept telling me, don't quit. So whenever like everyone used to come to the barbershop, they used to come late. So I used to come early. You know, barbers that say, oh, we open up at 10 o'clock, but they show up at 12 o'clock. So I used to show up early at 9 o'clock. They say the early bird catches the worm. So when the shop used to open up at 9 o'clock in the morning, everyone used to come in. Hey, so where's Mustafa? And that, well, Mustafa is not here yet. He's going to come at 12 o'clock. Are you free to cut my hair? Yes. Come sit on my chair, cut him, make money. Another person will come in on that morning, make money. And that's how I really started getting busy and obviously started getting familiar with the shop clients. And then...
And started getting better.
And then eventually, obviously, like, you know, somewhere down the line, met my missus now that I've been with for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And she encouraged me I should go to university and go get my qualification, because you're a barber, you need to be qualified to do your job. Otherwise, you're not going to get hired anywhere. So even when I was getting job seeker allowance at the time as well, they told me, like, look, if you want to work as a barber, you've basically got a... go and get your barbering qualification. So that's when I thought, I'm going to go get my barbering qualification. Okay, cool. It's going to cost me about $3,000. But hey, I'm on job seeker allowance, man. It's free. So I took that opportunity. Excellent. And when I got my qualification, got my level 2, and that's when I learned more about barbering.
And you're still working in the same barbershop?
I was still working in the barbershop,
time.
Yeah. So the barbershop that I was working, the hygiene wasn't there. A lot of things that could have been done right was done wrong. So from there, yeah, when I went to college, I kind of like got that knowledge now, yeah, on how the barbershop should operate, their hygiene, the services that you can offer as a barber, the business way of doing things, and all of that. Knowledge came first. And then when I went into the barbershop now, started smashing it.
Yeah.
There was never customer service before, but I learned that in college. So when I went to the barbershop now, I was using customer service. I wasn't the best barber in the shop, but the customer service here is what got me to move to another level.
Yeah, lifts you up.
Literally.
So you're nice and steady now. You're qualified. You've managed to find something you're passionate about.
Yeah, something I'm passionate
about. You're sorted. You're settled. Mm-hmm. You've met a great woman.
Yeah.
And then you decide... that you're going to shift yourself to the other side of the country. Sorry to interrupt, but I want to talk to you about something really important. Our podcast here is more than just about the industry, the barbershop, and the life therein. It's about the community that we built. And in the time we've been doing this podcast, the community has been amazing, and we've loved it. Now we're looking for you to get involved and become an essential part of our future. We're seeking long-term, mutually beneficial opportunities for partnership to come on board and help spread our message, to connect with our community, to help grow it, to keep the message strong, and to keep hearing and discussing these amazing topics that we do with all our guests. If you think your brand is the right brand for us, if you want to get in touch, please email me at thenoblebarberpodcast@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram. It'd be really good to talk to you. We'd love you to be part of our future. Okay, and now back to the episode.
Now, yeah, I moved to Liverpool from London. By the way, yeah, obviously, like while I was in London, obviously one of the barbers who was working in there currently at the time, it was a good friend of mine, but then he ended up buying half of the business.
Oh, okay.
He's now, yet now obviously I was renting the chair out as well in the shop. So when I'm renting out the chair, I'm still paying my rent, but at the same time, yeah, I'm respecting the rules of the shop, doing everything. But then is when people start getting that power trip where, oh, I'm the owner of the shop now. They're getting that power trip. Hey, can you go clean the toilet? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I was like, hold on, I'm paying you rent. Shouldn't you be getting somebody to come and clean the shop? I'm a barber, cut hair, right? Is in my section tidy? Is in my section clean? Do I help you sweep this the floor in the barbershop? Of course. So why are you asking me to go clean the toilet? Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And to me, yeah, I felt like, okay, cool. And then obviously it got to a point now, yeah, where every year they've got this day called Eid, where it's very, very busy. So when I used to complain about cutting kids, now I'm cutting adults. There's another barber that came in now. He's complaining about cutting kids. Oh, I'm here now, yeah, and I'm always cutting kids, cutting kids. And I thought, you know what? Let me do something for this guy. I was like, listen, I'm going to leave my shift early. I've made enough money right now, yeah, to basically do good. I've done good today. I'm leaving you to all my adult clients, right? So when the adult clients were coming to the shop, they were going to his chair now. So they've ended up staying in the shop till about 4 o'clock in the morning. And they were moaning at me for leaving early, right? And yeah, so from there, they've had a little conversation and that. And yep. I come back to the barbershop on a Friday. And obviously, this is the barbershop dramas now that people don't get to hear about. So I come back now, yeah, on a Friday. My customers are waiting for me. It's busy and everything. I've now come in, wanted to go cut hair in my section. I've seen all my tools, yeah, cleared out, put in the box. Hey, what's going on, man? Oh, basically, after what you did last time, leaving us here till 4 o'clock in the morning, we don't want you working in the barbershop. I was like, mate, like, did you lot not make money that day? You made money? Was it your idea to stay till 4 o'clock in the morning? Yes? Cool. Was it my decision to leave early? It was my decision to leave early, so I left early because I left at closing time. They ended up staying overtime now, yeah, to work. I was like, that's not my decision. I was like, well, after today, yeah, what you did last time, we don't want you working in the shop. So now I'm noticing, thinking something fishy is going on over here. So the guy who was my friend at the time was in the barbershop and he bought half of the business. He's now, yeah, jumping my clients, yeah, who are working in the shop. And I was like, right, this guy is jealous of me.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he ended up taking my clients. He was like, oh yeah, by the way, Romy doesn't work in the shop anymore. You can come sit on my chair. So now I'm watching with my own eyes, my clients sitting on his chair. Mm. So when they kicked me out from the shop, I literally went to my sister's house and I was like, oh, I can't believe this lot kicked me out from the shop. I tried my best. I went to the next door barbershop. I was like, look, can you let me rent the chair for a few weeks? Because I'm leaving to go to Liverpool soon anyway. He goes, if you want to come and work with me, it'll have to be 50-50 split. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that, man. Because now I'm used to like making my own money. So I'm not going to just go there now, do 50-50 again, man. Like, you know what I mean? I've got that mindset of a boss now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Of a leader. So I went to my sister's
house. And you're
busy.
You know, yeah,
and I'm busy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm so busy. Yeah. Why am I giving like half of my fortune here to a person I don't know? Do you know what I mean? So I went to my sister's house and I cried in tears. My sister goes to me, you know what? Like, look, don't worry about it. What's meant to be will be. Look at it this way. You know, you're going to, he goes, look at me. That literally just put me in tears at that time when I was, she goes to me, look at me. Yeah. You're going to go, yeah, and do better than these guys. I moved to Liverpool, right? And at the time in Liverpool, I didn't have enough clients. I wasn't working really well in Liverpool, right? And then nothing was working. I was like, you know, I got to go back to London. And then something was telling me, stay. And I was like, nah, man, Liverpool is not for me. So I wanted to go back to London. And then I stopped myself and I thought, you know what? Go through it, man. Don't take the easy route. Go for the difficult one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I dug in now. And that's when now, yeah, it's like you know, like obviously after being through, like, you know, being kicked out from the barbershop, I was working out for £20 a day, got kicked out from that barbershop, went to another barbershop. It was a 50-50 split. So I couldn't really, like, you know, buy a card, couldn't do nothing, especially when you're charging £8 a haircut. I wasn't getting enough clients, you know what I mean? I've got rent to pay, I've got missus to provide for, you know what I mean? Because I'm a provider. I've seen my dad providing for the whole family, and that's who I look up to as well. And I wanted to provide for my family too, you know what I mean? And then obviously, this guy wasn't letting me. You know what I'm saying? He still wanted this 50-50, you know what I mean? Whether it was, I went in, did £5. If somebody came in today and only did about £10 haircut, I'm going to take 50% off him, because I know what I went through, it wasn't right. Mm. I'd rather let them keep that whole 10%. I mean, £10.
£10, yeah, yeah.
So I'd go home with £5. Some days I'd go home with £2.50. But I never complained once. I've never complained once.
And this was how long ago? When did you arrive in Liverpool?
So I arrived in Liverpool in 2016.
Right.
2016. So in that 2016, literally went through that, got kicked out from the barbershop, went through all of that stress. And after that, yeah, a quote came up, man. It goes, listen, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Mm. And at that time, yeah, people didn't realize.
Good line, I like that.
People didn't realize, yeah, how scared I was, but that the adrenaline inside of me was just pumping, and I kept going. Listen, I was going into town, right, yeah, with my business card and my box, which I've got it till this day. I've kept it. You know what I mean? I call it my lucky box.
Right.
Literally, it's a silver aluminium case. And then I would go into town now, you're walking around, seeing people with bad haircuts. I'm like, listen, mate, yeah, I could fix your haircut right now, yeah, for free. Yeah, you don't have to pay me or anything like that. People be like, you know what? Yeah, no. Nah. Like, here's my business card. Just reach out to me. So from there, yeah, give my business cards. And then I think I ended up like seeing a homeless person. And it was very, very, it was looking rough. I sat him down, yeah, gave him a haircut. From that haircut, yeah, a couple of people approached me. Where is your barbershop?
Wow.
Where is your barbershop? I mean, I ain't got a barbershop. I've been kicked out from my barbershop. However, stay with me, yeah? I want to cut your hair. Here's my business card, and I'm going to cut your hair for free. So when I joined this new barbershop now, yeah, I didn't have a lot of clients. So what I did was, the first person I walked in, outside the barbershop actually walked in, I was like, listen, come in, I want to give you a free haircut. Goes, free haircut? Goes, what kind of barber gives free haircuts? Listen, give me a free haircut. I'll give you a free haircut. Bring me two of your mates. So when I was working for this other company in London, it was like a pyramid scheme company. So where you bring one customer, you sign them up and get them to sign up two people like that.
Yeah.
So I followed that pyramid scheme where I gave one person a free haircut. He brought two people with him. So now I've asked those two people, can you bring in two extra people with you, and I'll give you a free haircut. So now the triangle went from one client to two clients. Now the triangle is building with two clients. So next thing you know, yeah, I've got literally more than 100 people that I've given free haircuts. I've now told them, come back for another haircut. I've taken the contact details on paper, everything.
Yeah.
I've rung them up, yeah, each and every single one of them. How did you find my service? Did you like it? I was doing my whole marketing research, yeah, at the time, yeah, everyone liked it, boom. Okay, cool. Come see me next time when I want to give you a half price haircut. Did it for a fiver. Yeah. I was literally doing that.
Wow.
How many barbers you know you would do something like that? So I did that, yeah. And then from there, yeah, like word just went around the whole city. There's a new barber, yeah. Like everyone thought, yeah, that I was from America. Cause my accent, like, cause obviously I've moved a lot my whole life. I've moved to different areas. So everywhere I went, I was brought up here from like an American culture, listening to hip hop music and watching American movies. And even the way I dress, my fashion comes from that as well. And then, so I've sort of picked an accent from that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously when I came, I did have a different accent, but then there was another guy in my class who had an African accent. So when he was speaking on his African accent, everyone kept taking the piss out of him. And I was like, hey, I ain't about to be nobody's clown, you know what I'm saying? So my accent automatically changed. So for that whole year, I had to basically put an American accent so that way I don't get picked on or get bullied. Do you know what I mean? The way I saw how that guy was getting bullied, but then when I'm with him, and I'll talk, and I'll talk, and I'll have a little bit of African twang with it. The guy goes, you see you, yeah? How come, yeah, you never ever speak, you know, African twang? And then one day, when they pick on me, your accent changes to American. And then obviously, that's when I started, like, you know, evolving, having a British accent as well. And then obviously everyone in Liverpool thought that I was from America. Even the barbershop where I went to go work at, he thought that I was from America. And then when I started speaking, I had like a London accent, like a little London slang as well. It's like, you're from London, innit? I was like, bro, I was thinking this whole time you're from America. And then from there, start working in that shop. And then you go to a position now where my missus, obviously I got kicked out from the barbershop. Listen, God bless my missus, man. She came here for university and she didn't even finish university. She quit university, right? She went and got a job at a care home, working late nights,
right,
to make sure that she earns money, so she can pay rent and take care of me. You know what I mean? As a man, yeah, that felt wrong.
Mm.
Now, yeah, the tables are turned.
Sure,
I made sure she didn't work for the last 10 years. I made sure, yeah, I was like, listen, you stay at home. You focus on what you want to do with your career. You didn't finish university. And now, yeah, she runs like a little community where she does events for women where they do like, you know, dinners. They do little workshops together and sort of like brought women who, because at the time when she was going through anxiety and depression, she was working late nights. By the time I get home from work, she's asleep. By the time I wake up, yeah, she's gone. So, and by the time I wake up some days, yeah, bro, I'll be the first one to be out of the house. So we never sort of like, we lived in the same house, slept in the same bed, but we never saw each other like that. Do you know what I mean? So from there, yeah, I'd go to the barbershop and I used to obviously take about an hour to do a haircut. And that hour that I used to take doing a haircut, it sort of like, you know, kept me in the barbershop from morning, I say about 7 o'clock until 3 a.m. in the morning some days. And I'll go home, sleep, and wake up again at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7. I'm at the barbershop repeating that same routine and I'll only take one day off.
When did the Instagram, your media side start?
So my media
starting to happening around that sort of time?
My media started when I got kicked out, yeah, from the other barbershop. I was doing my media anyway, posting on my stories. And then when clients used to come, he's like, bro, I saw you on your stories and that encouraged me to do more stories. So whenever I'm posting my stories of me talking and sort of like chatting, those are gibberish like I do anyway, on my socials, a lot of them are like real facts. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm telling people about the life that I've been through and I'm putting that on my social media, like in the open. Do you know what I'm saying? And that started from back then, before when everyone else here wasn't even doing it. Yeah, I was already doing it. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't posting on my social media as much because I didn't know how to work out the algorithm like the way I know how to work it out right now, and everything that I'm posting is getting views and stuff like that. And obviously from like, I think last year, Christmas, when I posted that video and it got about 12 million, that ended up getting me to like 20K. From then, yeah, the page just kept growing and growing and growing. And even now we're sitting down and I'm getting people that are following me through those carousels that I've been posting because before I was posting for me. Now I make posts that's relatable and people want to share your post. So whenever people share your post now, yeah, you're getting loads of people like following you and they're seeing your story and they're liking what you do. There's people out there, yeah, who don't even like what I do. There's barbers who only do like one niche of haircut. If they're doing like straight hair only. I'm doing everybody. I'm doing straight hair, curly hair, afro textured hair. And when they see that, yeah, they're envying. Do you know what I mean? Before social media, we never used to show these things.
We were already
doing these things. We were not showing them. And we were not boasting about them.
No.
Nowadays, if somebody does an afro hair for the first time and they smashed it, it's something to boast about. Like, I'm not boasting about
it. But your social media is really kind of community-based. Do you think that stems back to the kind of core of you?
Yeah, man.
Community seems to be a big thing from your childhood all the way through.
Yeah, community's always been a big thing. And when you come to UK, it's like everybody's sort of like segregated, everybody, you know, keeping themselves to themselves. And I sort of like grew up with that. And then after that, I was like, you know what? Yeah, forget this, man. I need to take it back to the old school. Yeah, sort of like went back to the community route and sort of like, nowadays I get barbers messaging me, I'm helping them out for free. Yeah. Like, I don't care about money, do you know what I mean? It comes and goes. I'm selling products here, support my products, support my movement, you know what I mean?
And when did this arrive? When did you open up here?
This one here, yeah, I got offered about...
When did you become the
boss? So I had another shop before this. I had another shop in a different area.
Okay.
Where it was a bit run down area anyway, do you know what I mean? And then obviously the shop, it was by itself, underneath a house. I was working there. It got to a point here where even the shop floor was caving in.
Oh,
but
wow.
I kept going. I was that busy, I didn't even care about fixing that floor. That floor was caving in, and then literally there's about 6 feet deep.
And how long were you in that building?
3 years, man.
Wow.
3 years, man.
But that kind of set the tone of your Liverpool.
Yeah, it set the tone of my... I mean, I've set the tone before I even had my barbershop. Like I said, I'll be working there, yeah, every single day to the limit, yeah, where I made enough money. I went and bought a PlayStation because every time people come in, they're waiting for 6 hours. And I thought, you know what? Since they're coming for 6 hours, let me do something special for them. I went and bought a PlayStation. So that way, yeah, people would be telling me, like, listen, every time I come to your shop, it feels like I'm on a picnic because I've got to go get pizza now. I'm ordering pizza because they're waiting. They're waiting, and I don't want them
That's
to
amazing.
Leave.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
waiting. Some of them are waiting. Some of them are hungry because they're waiting there for hours. So I got to go order a couple of pizzas and that. Yeah, bring them to the barbershop. And everyone's just eating. Everyone in the community is just coming through, playing the PlayStation.
Some... And that was a old school walk-in.
Walk-in, yeah.
Queue
walk-in.
Up, hang out, and people were waiting 4, 5, 6 hours.
Yeah, 4, 5, 6 hours for a haircut. And I was fully booked every single day, even when I was doing bookings on the paper. People were still walking in, and I cannot turn them back because I don't know how far they came from. Like, do you know what I mean? And I'll just tell them, look, wait, and I'll jump you on between clients. So they end up waiting for like 6, 7 hours. Some of them were like, you know what, let me quickly go home, get changed, I'll come back. And when they come back here, the queue's just gone a bit longer, and I've even forgotten about them now.
Oh,
now there's a fight happening in the shop.
Mm.
There was at one point, right, so basically I've had a footballer who now plays for Liverpool first team. He came into the barbershop. The other one was playing for Everton at the time. He came into the barbershop, but the one for Everton, he booked an appointment. The Liverpool one didn't book an appointment. So they're two rivals now, innit? So as soon as I jumped, the Everton player, the Liverpool player, yeah, tried to cause a scene, man. We wanted to fight him. And I was like, mate, there's not going to be any fight kicking off in my shop. Do you know what I mean? So I've kept that sort of like vibe. Wow. Where even if you're a celebrity in my shop, I don't care how famous you are, how much money you've got, you're getting the same treatment as everybody else. Even when footballers used to call me, oh, can you come for like 12 o'clock? I was like, listen, mate, I'm not coming at 12 o'clock. I've got a client at 12 o'clock. Soon as I finish my shift, I can then come to you. So it got to a point yet where it was just all like too much, man. You know, like sometimes.
And this is what, a couple of years ago?
This was about like 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Four years ago, man. And then obviously, like, you know, when I was working in that barbershop, like, you know, obviously the guy's called Yemi. I'll be forever grateful to this guy for giving me the opportunity to come to his shop. Even when I went to his shop as well, like, I had to basically go after a few months and buy my own barber chair because he couldn't afford to buy a barber chair. And the chair that he had in his shop, it would swivel around. So whenever my clients are sitting, you've had to sit on the chair, yeah, but you've had to sit down, yeah, facing forward. The minute you lean back, yeah, the hydraulics on the chair, yeah, will go back with you, innit? So sometimes there's some of my clients would literally jump out of the chair, yeah, because they think they're falling backwards. And then after a few years later, I thought, you know what, yeah, I went to salon services, bought my first ever barber chair, and I brought it into the barber shop. Everyone was like, wow, man, this chair looks boss. Even when I moved out to my new shop,
yeah,
after that, I bought new barber chairs, and I actually left that barber chair in that shop. And it's there till this day, do you know what I mean?
Love it.
Because I wanted to, like, leave my mark everywhere I go, you know what I'm saying? And it's there till this day.
A bit of Romeo behind you.
Yeah, leave a bit of Romeo, you know what I mean? I was like, you know what? Like, this will just, every time you miss me, just look at this chair, remind you of me. Do you know
and
what I mean?
So, here, when this was, this
so how
long
this
you've
now,
been
here? Yeah, so basically, that the pattern that I've seen is, like, I've been in that place for 3 years, and then I moved to my new shop for 3 years. And obviously, while I was there as well, I started cutting, like, loads of footballers and that. So I've had loads of footballers come into that barbershop because it was, like, on the main road, but cars were just going past. So the footballers felt more safe going to that barbershop than to come here, because every time they come here, they're always, like, so I've had this place now for nearly, like, 3 years. I think we're going to our third year now. And so when I got given keys for this place, I thought, yeah, man, the landlord goes, obviously, I'm going to look after you, innit? But didn't realize, you know, his looking after, yeah, was going to be different, where I got to pay rent. And on top of that, yeah, I got to pay VAT, which is another extra, like, 350 quid a month.
Yeah.
I got to pay for this place. I'm like, why am I paying him that much? And I was like, you know what? He knows, innit? Because he's a businessman. He's a rich man and he knows how to deal with these things. You know what I mean? I thought, you know what? What do I know? Like, you know what I mean? I'm just a child that comes like from the trenches here back home, like, you know, in Kenya. What do I know about business? Everything that I've ever did here was just to go with the flow. And I thought, you know what? Even though you're paying rent for this place, it scares me. Just do it, man. Mm. So what? Take that risk. So I took that risk and I've been here for that many years. Obviously, I've ended up like, you know, having a lot of clients coming in, new clients. As you've seen previously while we were shooting our podcast downstairs, somebody walked in.
Yeah.
I didn't have to message him. Mm. I didn't have to approach him anymore.
Yeah.
I'm established now. So everybody knows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Word of mouth, everyone tells, because every time somebody comes in here from such a young age, when guests used to come to our house, the first thing we used to do is we used to grab like a bowl of water where you take it to the guests so they can wash their hands.
Right.
So that hospitality started from home. Mm. So that hospitality now, yeah, I brought it to the barbershop. Everything that I've ever learned from such a young age, I brought that to the barbershop. And because the barbershop is a place where I've seen myself like, right, I can dress how I want. Obviously, I used to think like, oh, show up whenever you want and do your timings, which is a lie. Because I still come in early before starting time.
Yeah.
And I'm here till like end of finishing time. And yeah, like, you know, obviously it's not easy, but it's something that we got to keep doing. Mm. And obviously I've seen, like you've mentioned a lot about like, you know, this whole like burning out, people getting burnt out. I've been burnt out 5 times, but I still kept going, man.
Yeah. You know, I think it can. I mean, I think that, like you say, certainly from the amount of barbering you're doing when you're back to back like that, it's very easy to get pulled every which way.
Yeah, I've got videos there, yeah, where I've literally like I said, every day I would do my stories every single day. Yeah, for the last like 10 years, I'm posting something on my stories, like my whole journey, my whole life story. I get home, I'm sitting down, I'm recording. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? You know what? You know, one of the barbers said to me when I was working for that barber, he goes to me, yeah, he goes, you gotta live your wages. He said that to me. So in return, yeah, I made a video, said to him, I put the video, I said, listen, this guy told me I should go live my wages. But guess what my doctor said to me? My doctor said to me, you got to change your lifestyle, innit? So I went and changed my lifestyle. And this is how I'm living. I could never go back to the lifestyle that I used to have. From now on, yeah, we're only going up. We're never going down. Because I've been down for too long.
You still work very, very hard. But you've changed the way you work to give you a bit of a break.
I've just changed the way I work. Like, I'm doing 20-minute haircuts now, which has allowed me, because obviously there's something that I want to release and I want to make this as something that's official in our barbering industry. Mm. You know what I mean? It's something that's never been done before. So like I said, I was literally on my way to a footballer's house. And I was thinking to myself, and I was just doing this, and I was like, 3-3-3, yeah. And this is, I was just doing this 3-3-3, and I was like, right. Imagine working for 3 hours, yeah, from 9 till 12, doing 9 clients. And then take 3 hours off, yeah, go to the gym, create your content, you know, edit your videos, hit the gym, eat your food, take that 3 hours, and then chill with family. And then from 12 till 3, so 9 until 12, 12 until 3, and then from 3 until 6, go back in the barbershop, work. Guess what? You've done your gym. You've done your cleaning in that 3 hours. You've done everything. This is something that I learned from my dad. My dad will go to work in the morning, come back home in the afternoon, have a siesta, eat together, have lunch, and then he'll go back to work again. Mm. And then at 6 o'clock, it finishes. And guess what? I've done 18 clients.
Yeah.
And if I'm charging 30 quid, 18 clients, do the maths, yeah, and I guarantee it, you're working less. It may seem like you're doing less, but you're actually doing more. Somebody told me less is more.
Yeah.
My less is to do less hours, more clients, more money. And by following this system, it can turn you into a six-figure barber.
Yeah. And do you feel this time for yourself is working for you? Do you feel miles away from burnout? Do you feel good?
Do you know what? Yeah, I've been burnt out. Every time I get burnt out, I usually just take 3 weeks holiday, man. I go away, innit? And this is something that I should have done a long time ago, but I was scared, like, if I go away, I'm going to lose clients. But then I'd rather lose clients than losing myself, because yeah. I've got to come first, man. even though, yeah, I love putting my client first before me, before my family, before everybody else. Do you know what I mean? But sometimes you get burnt out, yeah, and you can't offer the better service. You can't, like, obviously be yourself. And, you know, it just feels like it's a curse rather than, like, you know, rather than, like, you know, enjoying your career. It just feels like a curse. Like, it just feels like a burden. And then I started just going away for holidays. Before I do 7 days a week, now I'm doing 5 days a week. Wednesdays I start at 12 o'clock, finish at 6. Friday, Thursdays I'll come in at 10. I've got a 2-hour break to do whatever I want to do. Go to the gym. I'll just go to the sauna and steam room and just do a bit of swimming and then come back and I'm feeling fresh. I'm not stressing about clients. Some days I'm fully booked. Some days, you know, I'm not fully booked. I've learned how to be grateful in life. You got to be grateful. You know what I mean? This is what a lot of people are not dealing with. That's why they're like, oh yeah, financial freedom. When you mean, what's it called? Not from that financial freedom or financial stress. When finance is good, everybody is grateful. When it's not good, they're ungrateful. Yeah. And they forget to be grateful. Rule number one about success, you got to be grateful, whether it's small, big, whether you're hitting low and highs, you got to be grateful, yeah. Being grateful is what's going to take you to that next level. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I totally agree with that.
Cool. But what's future, Romeo? Now you've got a bit of time you yourself. What do you think's next?
You know what, yeah, it's like future. I don't live for the future, you know. I live for today. Like, today is what I live for, yeah. You know, like, you don't want to say to people like, oh, I'm stressing out right now, yeah. Listen, the future is looking bright. Right now, yeah, even though you're going through hardship, smile, wake up every day, keep going. Like I said, what future will bring, yeah, is gonna be bright. You know what I mean? Everyone says, yeah, oh, there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
That's your future right there. You can see it. It's coming. What are you stressing about, man? Yeah. Just keep walking through that tunnel, man. It's gonna be light at the end of the tunnel. Do you know what I mean? That's why, yeah, like, even right now, yeah, when everyone tells me, yo, did you plan to get this barbershop? I never planned anything. I never planned this is how my barbering would work. I just went with the flow. Till this day, I'm still going with the flow. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Somebody came to me seven years ago, came as my apprentice, trained with me. He's still with me till this day. You know what I mean? To me, yeah, loyalty is everything. Somebody else came, you know, giving them the skills, the customers, and that left me. I don't know. It's like, you know, you can't stop people from leaving. You know what I mean? Everybody has their own little things that they want to come and do. There's no need to sign contracts to keep them here. If somebody wants to do you dirty, whether contract or no contract, I'd rather them leave early than to stay with me for 3 years and do even more damage to my business. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I don't believe in doing contracts. Like, for me now, yeah, the future, all I'm seeing here is all looking bright. Everyone's telling me, oh, come move to Dubai. Like, who knows? Like,
is there another move ahead?
You know what I mean? It's like, for myself here, it's like I always go with the flow. It's like I'm a river, right? You know, it's like I'm a little boat here on the river. And that river, yeah, is just flowing.
Love it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then from there, yeah, I'm on that little paddle. And then I'm coming in a place here now, yeah, where the water flow, yeah, is going crazy. You know, I've hit the rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My paddle is now broken. I got to fix it and keep moving. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then from there, yeah, when I reach now, yeah, to the main river, yeah, where everything is calm, flowers, beautiful mountain, that day will come. But for right now, we just got to keep going, man. We just got to keep moving forward. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't let anything set me back. When that person that time left me, sort of that, like, did damage to my business, I start stressing out. Ever since then, I thought I've learned to accept more. Whatever's meant to happen will happen. If you're meant to be successful in this life, you become successful. Stop stressing about it. That's why, yeah, I've got no stress. You know what I mean? Even though this is a big place as well, yeah, like, I've got to pay most of the rent myself. I've got to pay most of the bills myself. I'm not stressing myself. Like, if money comes and goes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Is the experience that you give people that stay behind. I've got people from 15 years ago, yeah, messaging me now. They're like, bro, I've got money right now, yeah. Can I come through here for a haircut? They didn't have money back then. Some people messaged me saying, yo, bro, I really want to appreciate you, man. That haircut that you gave me, yeah, it changed my whole life completely. Do you know what I mean? For me, yeah, like, as you can see, yeah, like, there's competition where people get awards, right? I'm not the one here to enter this competition to get awards and that. I'm already winning in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For me, yeah, I take my rewards over awards any day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's nothing more better, yeah, than getting rewards, yeah, from your own clients. You know, words, yeah, can be a reward, man. Words from people, yeah, can become an award. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something where it's materialistic or something of or some sort of shop, shape or form to prove that, yeah, you know, you're a good barber, you're a good person. You know what I mean? All of that, yeah, just comes, yeah, from word of mouth and people saying to you, you know what, you've done me so good. I want to appreciate you for everything that you've ever did to me. I like the haircut that you gave me, what you done for my wedding. That was absolutely brilliant. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't want nothing back in return from nobody, do you know what I'm saying? So this is why I'm at where I'm in my life, where I'm winning. I don't need to enter competition to try to win, trying to prove myself who I am and stuff like that. I've sort of kept myself to myself. And now, you know, the future is just me being on social media, going to podcasts. And obviously, I want to go to colleges as well, like where I want to go and do like a motivational talk. And obviously, there's a lot of people that come out of college and don't want to be barbers. Them hearing my story would want them to stay and sort of become barbers. And obviously, a lot of people who come from different sort of background, they've had the same upbringing where they told their dad, oh, I'm going to become a barber, and their dad were not happy with it. Yeah. Because, yeah, I've broken that barrier and I've broken that boundaries. Do you know what I'm saying? Where now, yeah, that's accepted, isn't it? If somebody goes, oh, I want to become a barber, they're like, oh, yeah, you're not going to become a barber. But then they end up showing them my Instagram page and their parents completely change their mind. Yeah. Even the previous guy that I had, his parents wanted him to go to university. But then when I told his parents, oh, this and that, and the parents saw that the kind of money that he was making, even a graduate won't make that much money, they told him, you know what, do barbering.
Nice.
Don't even go to university.
Yeah.
The same uncles here that were neglecting me when I was a barber, when they heard I was cutting footballers, now I'm getting phone calls from them, hey, man. How about that football shirt, man? How about that ticket to that match? You know what I mean? All of that, you know? And then from there, it's like, you know what? We're proud of you that you've taken this thing and take it to another level where, you know, you've inspired us. I've got my nephews that are saying the same thing, like, uncle, you've inspired us. Do you know what I mean?
No, that's
amazing. To me, yeah, even though, yeah, I was away from family for so long, for them to just go on my social media and to see this and to see that, because, uncle, like, you've inspired us here to be our own bosses too.
Yeah.
They used to work for somebody else. Now they all set up their own little limited company and they're all doing their own little things. And to me, man, I'm happy. All I've ever wanted was to make my mom proud, man. And
I'm sure she absolutely was.
And you know what? Yeah. And in her passing away and that, yeah, you know what I mean? It was just crazy. But hey, listen.
Mate, I'm sure she is very proud of
you. Yeah, that's all I wanted. Just make my mom proud. Obviously make my family proud. And that was it for me, man. It was never to go and sort of like trying to be competitive with other barbers. I'm never in competition with other barbers.
But it shows, I mean, looking through your feed, certainly of late, you know, you're so community-based and so much about education, passing on. Mm-hmm. And I said hi, but I was watching you cutting at Salon International and the way you were engaging with the young barbers around you.
Yeah.
You look like you were loving it. Because they're the future
of barbering, you know what I'm saying? Because on the day, like, look, like... Like, this life, yeah, is not promised forever, man. Do you know what I mean? People need to set their differences aside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Collaborate more, yeah, than competition. Because for me, yeah, I always see competition. It brings enemies. From football, people competing against each other, that team loses. The hooligans from this team and that hooligan from that team, they beat each other up. Mm. Same thing with competition as well, yeah. When I entered competition in college and I came out first, guess what? Everyone else was bitter about it. Oh, yeah, but he was already doing barbering and that. And that's when I thought to myself, you know what? We don't need to be competitive against each other. We can support each other.
Yeah.
So nowadays as well, yeah, when I drive and I go to other barbershops and I see them, they're quiet, they're not having any business, I actually do stop my car and go into the barbershop and sort of have banter with them. And I was like, bro, like, how come your shop is quiet? It's like, I've been open for this long, da-da-da. And I'll give them my advice. It's like, why don't you jump on Booksy or do this? Why don't you go promote yourself? Why don't you start giving free haircuts? Do you know? Why don't you do this? Where other barbers will sort of like neglect them. They're sort of like, yeah, I'm doing so well. Yeah, I don't wanna sort of like share my secrets with them. I'm gonna be a gatekeeper. And I was like, you know what? I'm never gonna be a gatekeeper, man. Cause in the day, you're like, whatever I share out there, yeah, is not gonna make mine less. Like my dad says, yeah, you know, when you're giving charity. and you're giving, you're knowing that you, you know, you ain't got enough, your money is never going to decrease. Your money will always, always be more and more and more. Like, my daddy does a lot of charity. The way he gives, I'm like, daddy, you're going to go broke. He goes, listen, don't worry. I'm giving it from here. But then, yeah, it's not going to decrease. It's only going to increase.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Share it out.
You
got
to share it out. Like, right. I always say to people, like, don't be scared to spend money. That money that you're going to spend is going into the, is going to go into, what's it called, into the community. That community is going to bring that money and come back. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So literally, yeah, man. Literally, buddy. That. You know what I mean? Like, I could tell you my. We could sit here, yeah, and talk to you about my whole life story.
Mate, I think it's been brilliant. I've really enjoyed meeting you. I've loved hearing your story from your little wee boy on the floor in Kenya to here and the power you're having
I never knew
for
I was
going to
be
generation.
Here. I never knew I was going to be here because I know there's a lot of young people here that give up.
Yeah.
But just keep going, yeah. Be that little small, like, toy, yeah, that flows on the river. You're going to hit rock bottom. You're going to do whatever. Just keep going. You're going to have a lot of people that come into your life. Oh, yeah, you can't do that. That can't be done. This can't be done. Even when I was doing my 15 to 20-minute haircuts, a lot of people are telling me, yeah, it can't be done. And I'm like, mate, I've been to college and they said, yeah, your services should be about 10, 15, 20 minutes. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's how long it should last. And for me to take it now, yeah, to master it, and mate, and the end product looks like it's been done in about an hour, but literally just took 15 to 20 minutes.
Love
so
it.
Now, yeah, it's just to basically just break barriers in the industry. Like, don't listen to people that say things can't be done because they can't do it. Doesn't mean the next person can't do it.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Buddy, thank you very much. Yeah, guys, man. I really enjoyed that. I hope you've enjoyed this deep dive as much as I have. Romeo, thank you, bud. Really enjoyed
thank
you meeting
so
you
much,
properly.
Man.
We've been the Noble Barber. We'll see you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you so much, man.
Mate, that was awesome.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and we'll see you next time.